skin and whistle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the four horsemen to take call of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Get a river right down the lake of the city. No women crying when rivers are weeping.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we made it. We made it through night one of Monday Night Wars 2.0. And I'm here to tell you, fans, it was definitely interesting. Welcome to OWW Radio, brought to you by WTR Production. 888-357-9876, option 2 is your number. I'm Alan Wojcik. The next voice you're going to hear is the man, the living legend, Mr. Aaron Kendrick. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing pretty good, man. Fighting off a couple of sicknesses, but we're all here.
Oh, yeah, we're here. Our man, Mr. Tim Stein, is also joining us. He is the uber super technical producer man watching the Calgary Flames play on TV. If you want to get in on through the Skype program, which is really a cool technological wonder, it is WTR underscore Sunday night. This second hour tonight, the entire hour, we will have the current voice of Evolve and Dragon Gates USA's DVDs and pay-per-views. Mr. Lenny Leonard will be joining us. But before we talk those promotions, let's get right into it, kids. Last night was the return of the Monday Night Wars, and the Nielsen ratings are in already. Before we even break down the show, let's break down the ratings. Here's what happened. Last week, the last episode of TNA on the Thursday night did a 1.4 share. Now, I'm not the greatest technological person on this stuff, so you're going to have to bear with me when I break down these rating things, because it's weird. Last night, TNA did a 1.0. A 1.0. Now, here's where it gets interesting, as my computer just got attacked by something. TNA, as I said, did a 1.0. Raw did, last week, a 3.7. Last night, 3.4. Now, they did that without bringing in half of the free world of free agents out there. So for fans that didn't, you know, tune in, let's talk about it. We had the arrival in TNA of Mr. Monday Night in probably the shortest match in TNA Impact history. Had to be at least 10, 15, 20 seconds tops that Rob Van Dam beat the now, once again, heel Sting. I mean, what the heck? Everybody's like, oh, wow, they were booing. Oh, Sting's a heel. I was like, hi. Reality check. He was a heel. He was in the Main Event Mafia. They were hated, horribly hated. Right? Be honest with me, fans, and you can totally call in at 888-357-9876, option 2, or WTR Sunday night, underscore between the WTR, the Sunday, and the night. Which one did you watch live, and which one did you DVR? I'm going to tell you what I did. Aaron's going to give you his in a second. I DVR'd TNA, watched it this morning, and watched Raw live. So, what was it for you, Aaron? Which way did you go?
Actually, you know, I had it all planned out. You know, we were going to DVR one of them on one TV and DVR the other one on the other TV. So, you know, I'm not here. I'm not at this house last night. I'm somewhere else, and I'm actually watching TNA live. Get here today, DVR difficulties, as I'm going to like to call it, I didn't even get to record Monday Night Raw. So,
oh.
I don't have a clue what happened last night on Monday Night Raw, so I'm going to apologize for that.
We'll break it down real fast. You've got another WrestleMania match that was set up last night, and that would be The Game, Triple H, taking on his offstage protege workout buddy, Sheamus. Which was a really good promo between the two of them. They set that up. For fans that did watch Raw, and we're going to talk about both shows in the next few minutes, Raw opened with another confrontation between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, which was really chilling the way they were talking to each other. Michaels got in there, brought up, oh, you're afraid of me. Brought up fear and this and that. And I'm surprised he didn't say to him, by the way, I love your eyeliner. But that's another story. TNA did a good thing. And I don't know if you happen to see it, Aaron, or anybody on the line happened to see it. But they did a pretty neat little viral video about you've got to tune in to the first 5 minutes. And they went around the office. And it was pretty cool looking. Until you realize the first 5 minutes was, we're going to hotshot our main event into the opening of the show? Mm. I mean, I'm a big fan of that idea, but, you know, was it something that you were surprised at, Aaron? Were you sitting there going, yes, cool, or were you sitting there going, oh, God?
You know, whenever I first heard Hogan's music hit, you know, I'm like, all right, what in the world is going on here? You know, I mean, that's something that they need to build up for ratings. But as it progressed, I started noticing, hey, Sting's turning heel. That was a shocker to me. Because, you know, with the Mafia, he was still somewhat of a babyface because, you know, people still respected Sting. He's not really ever been a hated heel, you know, since being in TNA.
Yeah, you're right. He was kind of a tweener.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, especially started making sense whenever Dixie Carter, you know, comes in and is like, you're going to have a match tonight with a special opponent, you know. And, you know, that ended up being one of the biggest pops I've ever heard in TNA was when.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy there to have all of a sudden. You're just like, oh, crap, there's Rob.
Here's what I noticed about that, too. If you play it back, you know, TNA normally with the new acquisitions, like, they just let them come out, you know, it's just another guy coming out. And, like, they let that guy's entrance music interrupt the other guy's entrance music, and then everybody's like, oh, hey, look, there's that guy. Well, last night they actually did it kind of WWE style and let it kind of build up with Sting pacing around in the ring, and you could actually hear people chanting RVD, and it was getting pretty loud. But whenever RVD's music hit, they got even louder, like they never would have thought it could happen. I just thought
exactly.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, that was just weird. I'm happy they debuted him that way. He beats him in 5-10 seconds, and then RVD gets the crap kicked out of him for, I think, an entire segment on Monday Night Raw. Yes, he's done beating him. Wait, he's coming back. He's beating some more. It's like, okay, he's done. Really, he's not done. Oh, God. It's like, all right, good news, Rob. You're here. Bad news. The Icon Sting just beat the snot out of you for 15 minutes, and any shine you just got mowed over. And not only mowed over, but Hogan had to come out and say, no, brother, don't beat on him. Don't beat on him. Beat on me. I mean, and by the way, we're being asked by our technical producer, Aaron, you need to speak louder. I don't know why, but he's asking you to speak louder. 888-357-9876 is your number. Option 2 is the button to dial. We'll get into the ratings things real quick because I got some numbers that we're breaking it down. A grand total of 5.1 million people watched Monday Night Raw and 1.3 million tuned in to watch TNA. Now, that's the demographic breakdown of the traditional 18 to 49, 25 to 34, 30 to 54. So, and that's with a debut, a return of Sting, the debut of Rob Van Dam, the end of the Absolute Show having Jeff Hardy run in, and then you go to, you leave as he's beating up half the locker room, and then you had a great, we'll get into matches in the next segment about which was our favorites, which weren't our favorites. But, you know, the one thing I happened to mention to one of my friends that called me today, and it's like, so, what'd you watch? I said, well, it was pretty neat to watch TNA because they have a brand new superstar. He says, yeah, Rob Van Dam. I said, no. I said, yeah, Shannon Moore's back. I said, no. I said, who are you talking about? I said, Brooke Hogan. He's like, what? I said, yeah, Brooke Hogan is the number one contender to one of the title belts because she had more TV time than the TNA World Tag Team Champions, who were nowhere to be seen. They had more TV time than everyone else in the X Division, except for Kazarian, Doug Williams, Christopher Daniels, and the champ Doug Williams, and then Shannon Moore. I was like, what the hell? And Bubba the Love Sponge guy, who was fired, obviously not, since the Awesome Kong is gone. I mean, it's just really weird that you put over a 20-year-old, I think she's 20, I lost track of how old she is, because I don't care, because she has no talent. I mean, you got to be sitting there, Aaron, going, this is wrestling. Wait, no, this is a Dr. Phil intervention. Daddy, don't go out to the ring. It felt like I was watching one of the Rocky movies.
I can see that.
I mean, it was just annoying. If you were annoyed by it, or if you liked it or loved it, call us in. 888-357-9876, option 2, is the way you get to us.
Last night, someone brought it up on the forum last night, Alan. I'm thinking it was Daniel, one of the producers. I'm not sure, but somebody said that the quote of the night came from a segment with Brooke and Hulk Hogan when Brooke told Hulk, hey, you're like my dad.
What do you mean like?
That's the quote of the night. So.
Exactly. Yeah, and we'll play that with the next segment in a couple of minutes. We will break down who went where, how it got set up. Actually, we might as well get ready to take that first break because we need to get organized. Before we go to break, we just wanted to send out some wishes to the Macho Man Randy Savage and his brother Leaping Lanny Poffo, their father, a legend in the business, Mr. Angelo Poffo, unfortunately passed away after our show last week during the time in between. He was a legend in the business, ran his own promotion with the kids, was involved in the slamboree stuff in the late 90s with the WCW. And as I said, he was the father of two amazing superstars, and believe in Downers Grove, Illinois this week. He will be laid to rest, so OWW Radio would like to thank Angelo Poffo for being a legend in this business. And we're at that point, we're going to take our first break. 888-357-9876, option 2 is our number. That's Aaron Kendrick, I'm Alan Wojcik, and this is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince
Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Spaceman, oh, spaceman, come rescue me from this calling. Rescue me.
everybody. This is Biff Naked. Hang loose. Hang ten. High five. Go get them. Fight the good fight. You're listening to WTR with Biff Naked.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Enjoy listening to that music because that's not the theme anymore, man. They changed it again. The biggest night in TNA wrestling ever until that, well, that was last week. No, wait, it's this week. No, wait, it's next week. 888-357-9876, option 2, and the biggest night in OWW. The hell with that hype crap. That's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. This is OWW Radio. For fans that weren't aware of it, yeah, there was wrestling back last night, man. We had the Monday Night Wars, and wow, it was interesting. We'll break it down show by show. Over on Monday Night Raw, we had an interesting guest host. It was a favorite magician of mine. I don't know about anybody else's, but I was way happier to have Chris Angel as my host instead of Cheech and. Oh, man, I can't remember the damn names. That's horrible. Oh, yeah, Cheech and Chong, that's right. And, like I said, we had the opening segment over there where it was Shawn Michaels talking Undertaker and talking and talking and talking. Over on the show, they opened up an opening match, amazingly. They actually had wrestling over on Monday Night Raw, which is pretty cool. Gail Kim, Eve Torres, Kelly, taking on Alicia Fox, Katie Burchill, who wasn't released, even though her man was. And the Divas champion, Maryse, who actually got pinned in the match. And we're not going to go segment for segment on what magic tricks Angel did or not, because they were some pretty cool things. Also announced for WrestleMania, I think for the first time in a while, unless they switch it up again, you're going to see the Unified World Tag Team titles on the line as Show Miz or Miz Show, or which do you prefer, Aaron? Do you prefer Show Miz, Miz Show? What's your favorite?
If I have pick, I'm going to say Show Miz. You know,
okay, we're just going to call.
You know why they call it Show Miz? Because it's like Show Biz.
Wow, that's amazing. It took 10 writers in WWE to come up with that. Yeah, it took 10 writers to come up with that, and you, the 15-year-old guy, got it faster than they did. Okay, yeah. So you've got it set up for this pay-per-view, unless something changes, because last year you're supposed to have the tag titles on the pay-per-view, and instead they were pre-show. You're going to have a World Tag Title shot as the Truth, sorry, R-Truth, can't call him the Truth, copyrighted by another company, and John Morrison are going to take them on. They did a segment setting up that. And then we had a triple threat, well, not really, because it was a handicap. You had Cody Rhodes and DiBiase, the Legacy, taking on Randy Orton. Randy Orton got beat down in a very entertaining match, and it rivaled pretty well with the three-way dance, a triple threat that we're going to talk about on Impact in a minute. Had some yapping with Batista. Then we, as I mentioned, we got Triple H and Sheamus. More yapping there. We got another entrant into the Money in the Bank ladder match, and it is the high-flying Evan Bourne, who defeated William Regal. And then your last match of the night was
probably better than the opening match and the end match on Impact, and it was Vince McMahon taking on John Cena. Well, not really. It was Vince McMahon, Kozlov, Drew McIntyre, Jack Swagger, Mark Henry. I think Nick Anthony got involved in there at some point. I think Scott, one of our producers, got in that match. I think Tim Stein snuck in with a hockey stick and hit somebody. And then Mark Henry ended the match by helping him pin Minnie Mac. Minnie Mac got the win. And that was after it even got turned. First it got turned into a handicap match. Then it got turned into a handicap no disqualification match, which of course brought Kofi Kingston out. Kofi came out. Next thing you know, Batista, who swore a stack of Bibles, I'm not going to interfere in this match. Yeah, right. it was pretty neat to see Chris Angel do some pretty cool magic tricks. If you're not a fan of the Mind Freak show, find it on A&E, man. It's pretty cool. So, like I said, fortunately, Aaron said DVR, the final score was DVR 1, Aaron nothing, so he didn't get much Monday Night Raw. Over on the TNA side, as we've already talked about, Aaron, we opened it with the tag match that everybody, I guess, I don't know if everybody wanted to see it, didn't want to see it. They saw a match that lasted 2 minutes and 21 seconds.
Yeah. I'm not kidding, folks.
I mean, that match literally was 2 minutes and 21 seconds. And were you surprised to see Dixie Carter get involved the way she did, Aaron? I mean, for fans that don't know it, she was on stage for a little while, and then she wasn't. What are your thoughts on that, fans? 888-357-9876, option 2 is the number, Aaron. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think Dixie should be an on-character person, or should she never be on screen?
Well, I mean, I think it would be something new and something that the fans could kind of get into because, you know, Dixie seems like someone that the fans would love, you know, because she's given the fans all these great things over the years, and the fans seem to appreciate that, so I think it could make for some good pops, you know. I don't know.
Yep, she got that. That was pretty weird. Like I said, everybody knows it now. Sting's a bad guy again, and it was neat to see the way that Styles and Flair played that completely out. They totally played it out like, hey, wait a minute, Sting's here. Sting's going to beat us up. Oh, no, he's not. He's beating on the Immortal Bald Spot. I cheered. I admit it. I'm not a big fan of the Hulkster anymore. And it was just like, okay. And like I said, she set up that RVD and Sting had what was probably, like I said, the shortest match in TNA history. Had a really neat match, though, is that we talked Triple Threat over on the other side. We had a good one over on Impact, which was the X Division World Champion, Doug Williams, who took on the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie the Future Kazarian, whose title shot was His title shot was supposed to have been at Destination X, but Bischoff came out and said, no, 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 I run things. You're defending it tonight there, buddy. 6 minute, 48-second match, which was awesome.
Now I'm actually...
I said it right now,
and I mean, it's a great match. I'm going to go ahead and say that. It's a great match, and, you know, I'm not going to go too much into that because, you know, we got a certain little segment somebody might have heard of before that could go into, so...
Absolutely, which will be our next segment, actually. We'll do Match of the Week in a couple minutes. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the number. If you're joining us late, we're talking the rekindling of the Monday Night Wars. Lenny Leonard will be joining us in the second hour, and we'll probably get some of his opinion on the Monday Night Wars. And it was great. Doug Williams wins the match. Next thing you know, here comes the spike-haired man, Sharon Moore. It's like, yay, Doug, you won. Oh, by the way. Meet your opponent at Destination X. It was like, what? Whoa. And it almost seemed like, Aaron, half the crowd didn't even realize it was Shannon Moore because Shannon hasn't been in TNA since, I think it was about 2-3 years ago. that he was involved. So I don't think half the crowd knew who he was. Maybe they did.
You know,
we also have new tag. I'm sorry to cut you off there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, you know, a couple of years ago, he was in TNA about long enough to have a cup of coffee with AJ Styles, and then he left. And
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it felt. It was just like, hey, he's here. Wait, he's gone. In case you didn't catch it, fans, there are new champions, knockout champions, because Mike Tenay in 30 seconds basically said, well, Hamada and Kong haven't defended the belts in the 30-day period, which is a lie because they wrestled on an explosion a couple weeks ago, and hey, this is wrestling. We can make it up as we go. The beautiful people got it. They've got the belts. They defeated Tara, Angelina, Love, Sarita, and Taylor Wilde to get the belts. Far out. I'm happy they got them. Unfortunately, half the ladies' division is gone. For fans who don't realize it, Nikki Rocks has been sent home. But she's also injured, so I guess they weren't going to use her anyway. Then you had, it was supposed to be Pope D'Angelo De Niro taking on Desmond Wolfe, and a funny thing happened on the way to the promo with Christy Hemming. Desmond Wolfe literally destroyed him backstage. Final score, chain one, Pope D'Angelo De Niro's ankle, nothing. So there went that. And then you had, like I said, the shortest match in TNA history. 9 seconds. Nine. I think it took Rob Van Dam longer to get to the ring than it did for him to actually wrestle. 9 seconds, kids. That was RVD's debut. When Jeff Hardy came in when they were doing the weekly pay-per-views in Nashville, he had a kick-ass 15-minute match with AJ Styles before Kid Cash came out and destroyed everything, saying, "Oh wait, no, buddy, I should be the X Division champ." 9 seconds, and the crowd was exploding, like you said, Aaron. They loved it. And then for 10 minutes, they sat there going, "He's beating up on RVD." Hey, look, he's still beating on RVD. All right, he's leaving. No, wait, he's back. He's here. He's back. What are your thoughts on this, fans? 888-357-9976, option 2. You can get us through Skype also, WTR_Sunday night. You're sitting there, Aaron. You're watching this going, wow, RVD, cool. RVD's getting a crap kicked out of him. What do you think of that? I mean, do you think his push, what do you think of the way he was brought in? Should he have been brought in a different way?
Actually, it really made sense to me, you know, and... You know, I don't know if we should be talking about spoilers on here, but, you know...
No, we're not spoiling anything. Don't spoil it. That's against the rules.
No. They got something good in mind for RVD, so, I mean, it might turn around to be a good idea of what they did. So, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that, but, you know, I got to admit, I was sitting there. I about came out of my chair last night. I did. And it was my first time to do that since watching Bret Hart come back. And that was my first time to do that in years, so
I thought it was
a pretty good little segment.
All right, man. Before we go to break, we're gonna run through the rest of the card real quick, and then we'll take a commercial. You had the setup for Destination X, one time only deal. Kevin Nash, Eric Young are gonna take on Hall and Waltman. If Hall and Waltman win, they're in. They get contracts. And what should have probably been a way longer match, it felt like a lot longer match, Showtime Eric Young, I guess we can't call him Showtime anymore, it's just Eric Young, defeated Sean Waltman in a minute and 12 seconds. And then you had what was actually a very heart-wrenching promo by Kurt Angle with, it looked like, I lost count about how many Army soldiers were around that ring, but that was pretty cool. To set up Anderson and Kurt Angle for Destination X. And, I mean, I've got friends that are still in the service. One of them's in Afghanistan and Iraq right now. Can't talk about where he is because it's against the government rules. But I'm sure, I'm watching these fans, watching these guys there, and I'm just sitting there going, these guys have to be having a blast. Stan, they're like, okay, we're not only going to be on Impact, we're involved in this thing with Anderson and Angle. That was pretty far out to see.
Yeah.
And then we wrapped it up. Yeah, like I said, we had the Brooke Hogan, Dr. Phil moment of the night. And then in what's got to be the weirdest thing ever, the most popular tag team in TNA isn't 3D with the fans, who also weren't on the show. The Nasties weren't there. Your World Tag Champs weren't there. Beer Money Incorporated, for what reason we don't know, is now heels. They beat Jeff Jarrett in a handicap match in 3 minutes and 41 seconds. And it was just like, what in the world? Huh? Who? And then you have, again, you had Hogan and AJ, Abyss and Flair, 7 minutes and 55 seconds long. Ended. Pope D'Angelo De Niro involved. Desmond Wolfe involved. And as we noted, he's back, unless his court date is in the middle of this month goes wrong for him. Jeff Hardy back again. And it was interesting to watch, and we'll get into it also when we talk news. We can keep talking this after match of the week, which is coming up next. You had a Monday Night Raw that was setting up for WrestleMania against a TNA show that should have been setting up for Destination X. Who really won? I mean, obviously the ratings show one thing. They won. But, Aaron, who had the better product last night? Which do you feel had the better product? Was it Raw? Was it Smack? Was it Impact on paper? I mean, obviously, like I said, you didn't get to see it, but on paper, who had the better show?
Well, honestly, you can't really just pick one as a complete better product, you know. On a few different things, you know, like wrestling. I'm going to say wrestling. I would say TNA wins that. You know, the three-way match in itself, I would put up against anything that Raw put on last night. The shockers, you know, RVD and Sting turning heel, I would put that up against anything Raw had last night. But I do have to give Raw one thing. You know, it's WrestleMania time. They're going to be building up WrestleMania like there is no tomorrow. So as far as storyline consistency goes, Raw's got to have it.
Fans, we want to hear your opinion. 888-357-9876. Hit option 2. After this break, the man you just heard will give us one of the most popular segments on OWW Radio. We'll get Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Alright, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All-Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even a e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one heard it. That one heard it.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
888-357-9876. OWW Radio is back. Option 2 is the button you want to push. Lenny Lund at the top of the hour from Evolve and Dragon's Gate. We're going to talk some indies in the second hour. We want to mention that here on OWW Radio, we do have a really cool forum you can go to, forums.onlineworldofwrestling.com, where you can get in on the Monday Night Wars setup. You can talk Monday Night Wars. You can talk anything on that website. It's awesome. But right now, we're going to talk Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick.
OWW Radio.
All right, Match of the Week. If you have any questions or comments, you can send that in to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. So let's get right into it. And in your fans, before I get into it, I just want to say one thing. I apologize because last week lacked in wrestling. I'm going to say that. Alan, do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see anything that really caught your attention last week?
In what regard? You mean match-wise?
Yeah, match-wise.
I'm not really sure. I'm trying. Unfortunately, due to my 16-month-old having the TV, I didn't get to watch the majority of SmackDown. Well, Monday Night Raw did have some good stuff. TNA had some good stuff. I mean, I'm not the match of the week person, man. You're the match of the week person.
Well, I'm saying that if you miss certain stuff, then you saved parts of your life. I'm just going to put it like that. We have two runner-ups this week, people. Two. You know, normally I like to try and get one from every show if I can, but sometimes it's just not permitted, you know. Now, if you want to hear more on that, you can go to my weekly column at wildtalkradio.com. But let's get right into it with NXT as one of the first two runner-ups. All right. Last week, as I was announcing Match of the Week, I made fun of a match that lasted a minute and 20 seconds. That's David Otunga and Darren Young. I do have to admit this week that they had what I thought was a phenomenal little match. I thought this one had some good things about it. The first thing I liked was the psychology in it. What I liked was the way Darren Young was trying to get revenge for the embarrassment last week, as well as trying to impress his mentor, CM Punk. Other than that, there wasn't much psychology going on. Actually, the only really good spot in the match was the finish and how Punk grabbed David Otunga's leg, causing him to lose. Now, here in Match of the Week, there is normally always one match that is very close to taking the title, and this week, that would be Luke Gallows and Rey Mysterio from Friday Night SmackDown. Now, this one doesn't have much build-up besides one or two minor confrontations. Psychology here was the old David versus Goliath story, and Rey had to try and beat the big man once again. Now, is it just me, people, or is this storyline for Rey Mysterio getting old? Now, Rey Mysterio actually had a place on the roster when they had the Cruiserweight Championship still around. You know, whenever they put the World Heavyweight title on Rey Mysterio back in 2006, at WrestleMania, it made no sense other than trying to, you know, pay tribute to Eddie Guerrero, which, by the way, he is one of my favorite all-time wrestlers, and that is not a knock on Eddie Guerrero. But why is a cruiserweight wearing a world heavyweight championship belt? You ever think about that, Alan?
It was interesting.
And, I mean, you know, whenever he was champion, they put him up against Kali. They put him up against Mark Henry. He's been up against Batista. You know, there's only so many times that a certain story can work. And with Rey, it's just getting old. And they ruined it by putting the Cruiserweight title on Hornswoggle and having to retire it. So,
that's enough of that.
Back to the match. This one had a lot of beating on each other, and that added to the realness. But that's about it, honestly. The David and Goliath story wasn't any good, and neither was the build-up. but I can say that this almost took match of the week because of how freaking lacking the week was. All right, no. Match of the week. Now, this was a good match. It made me proud. Match of the week this week comes from the March 1st edition of Ring of Honor on HDNet for all you ROH fans. It was, in fact, the opening match of the American Wolves and the Dark City Fight Club.
Yes.
I almost came out of my chair watching some of the spots in this one. So I honestly don't want to waste any more time, so let's check this out. Build up. The build up here was when the Wolves lost the tag titles to the Bucks. Really? I mean, that's it for the build up. Richards and Edwards were simply trying to get back to the top at the expense of the club. Psychology here was actually the exact same thing. The Wolves were trying to get back into the world tag team title hunt. The Dark City Fight Club, on the other hand, was trying to prove themselves as worthy challengers. Now, delivery in the match was outstanding. This was an all-out fight for the most part. Now, one thing I loved about Davey Richards is that he reminds me a lot of the great Dynamite Kid as well as Chris Benoit. He has technical ability, flying ability, and he will smack you with the might of Samson, as Shot likes to say. What I like in particular was the kicks, such as the variety of kicks in this match. You know, like the soccer kicks and all that stuff. The small ROH arenas really bring out the contact and the kicks, and that makes it very, very believable. Let's fast forward a little bit. The finish was great. The match started getting crazy, more kicks, a big shoulder block taking Edwards out of the ring, setting up Richards for the club's very impressive double-team finishing move.
Project Mayhem, brother.
Yeah. So, it was crazy, I gotta say that. Alright, so that's the match of the week for the week of March 1st, 2010. As I said at the top of the segment, questions and comments about Match of the Week can be emailed to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Or if you are a member of Genesis, the most reliable wrestling source in the world, you can private message me on the forums, Alan. I'm saying
well, actually,
me.
Yeah, you can. That's right. I'm on that forum, aren't I? I am. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was your segue.
Dark City Fight Club, man. That's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of the Dark City Fight Club, and that's just, and that's not because I'm friends with those two guys. I think they're a tremendous tag team, and I'm happy to see them getting the push that they're getting. And
yeah,
if you don't like
course.
It, too bad. Too bad. I don't care what anything.
Of course, I would like to throw in, I almost forgot it, but Eddie Edwards is now the first ever Ring of Honor World Television Champions. So let's throw that on in there and see what
that is. Yeah, that's right. That happened this past weekend. That happened this past weekend. 888-357-9876, option 2. After the break, we're going to get into some news involving the Ultimate Warrior, involving Al Snow. We'll talk a little bit about some pay-per-view buys. And as I said, top of the hour, Lenny Leonard. 888-357-9876, option 2. Get on in with this guy. He is one of the best voices in the business. OWW Radio, be here.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vic
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner. are listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Seven, 9, 8, 7, 6. Option 2 is the number. Top of the hour, Lenny Leonard of Evolve and Dragon's Gate. But we're going to do some news with Aaron Kendrick, myself, Alan Wojcik on OWW Radio. We didn't get to talk about it during the TNA WWE Monday Night Wars, but for fans that were watching, somebody was missing. And it's someone that I've known for years and is a fan of her work even before I got to meet her. And that would be Mrs. Frankie Kazarian, kids. That would be Tracy Brooks, who did on... Yeah. Thursday, or actually Wednesday, she announced it on her her MySpace page, which is myspace.com, TNA Knockout, Tracy Brooks. She posted this, just wanted to take this time to say, yes, I was released yesterday afternoon from TNA. There is nothing to report or any stories why. They simply had nothing for me. I love my time at TNA. I look back at my 7 years with them with great fondness. TNA is a family, unfortunately. Nature of the beast with family members coming and going. I will still be wrestling and doing conventions just like I've been this whole time. Thanks. And she goes on to thank everybody, ring crew and everything. And also, if you live in the Florida area, she's going to be a MegaCon in Orlando at the Orange County Convention Center. Some other really cool wrestling people are going to be there. And we'll also put over right now, there's a Monster Mania this weekend in the New York City area that's going to have some wrestlers there. Al Snow, who is the newest agent to join TNA Wrestling. Hall of Famer Greg and Hammer Valentine will be there. But, I mean, of all the people that got released lately, Aaron, of the DU, of the Knockouts, which is seems to be getting chopped week by week by week, you've lost Tracy Brooks, Alicia, cheerleader Melissa, who is Alyssa Flash, and whatever Kong's manager's name was, Kong herself. You lost Angelina Love, but now she's back. You lost Nikki Rocks again. Jacqueline's been long gone. Gail Kim left to go back to WWE. Are we slowly seeing the ladies division? I mean, the X division, I'm sure, will probably be gone soon, too, if Hogan had his way. But, I mean, are you sitting there going, what the heck, man? I mean, what are your thoughts on Tracy leaving?
Well, honestly... You know, I remember back whenever I first started getting to watch TNA, I remember seeing her coming out with Matt Bentley.
Yep.
And they had, honestly, you know, I'm not going to play like I knew what was going on there. I just tuned in to watch, you know, TNA on Spike, and they never really gave the backstory on that. But, you know, whenever I saw them coming out, it really seemed like they had a pretty good little story going on there with those two. So, you know... Honestly, ever since they stopped doing the Bentley bounce and all that, there's not really been that much for Tracy Brooks. You know, they did Cookie Gate. I remember Cookie Gate.
That was awesome. She was also with Robert Roode for a while. She got involved with him.
Yeah, Robert Roode. Yeah, Miss Brooks.
When he became Robert Roode. When he became, did that deal.
I'm going to revise that statement. After that, they haven't really had that much for her, so it's not really a big shock.
I mean, it's a shame that someone who's been in the business as long as she has, she is a phenomenal worker. I'm not saying that because I like her as a person. I've sat many times with Tracy after TNA events at the Ale House. Not name dropping. It just happens that I happen to have friends that are in the wrestling business. And you sit there and you talk to her and she is just a really genuinely nice person. And as she said, yeah, it's the nature of the beast, but you know, do you see her going to WWE or do you see her just going, you know what, I'm happy Frankie's wrestling, I'm just going to take some time and heal up? What do you think? Do you think she is? Could she join the WWE Divas, especially since she's been in Playboy? Well, she was not in the actual magazine. She was online Playboy. What do you think? Are you think, is she TNA, is she WWE down?
Well, honestly, you know, compared to the anorexic WWE Divas, you know, she's basically Awesome Kong. You know, not knocking Awesome Kong. She's one of the best wrestlers in the business. You know, I'm just saying, you know, like you said, the nature of the beast is just the nature of the WWE. You know, look at Mickie James.
Well, you can't look at her. She's busy off doing a country album somewhere.
I just don't see, as far as all that goes, I don't see Tracy Brooks joining the dark side.
And speaking of dark side, there's a story going around. Our sources, wrestling-radio.com. Speaking of Hall of Fame, it's coming up a couple weeks, and we're going to get into that with Lenny a little while because he'll be in, I believe he'll be in Phoenix with the Dragon's Gate people. A Phoenix resident may be joining the Hall of Fame. He wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't. He might be, according to wrestling-radio.com. There are reports suggesting that the WWE and the Ultimate Warrior have agreed to him being inducted into the 2010 Hall of Fame. Now, the Warrior fans and money in WWE have seemed to have been going on for decades, all the way back to, like, SummerSlam. The SummerSlam I was at in Madison Square Garden, the night Bret Hart beat Mr. Perfect, the night that Randy Savage married his then-wife, ex-wife, then-wife. And then the night that he held the WWE up for money, where it was him and the Hulkster taking on, I believe it was Ted DiBiase and Sid Justice at the time. No, Sid Justice was the ref. It was DiBiase, and I can't remember who else is in the match. That's horrible. Or was it Slaughter? I mean, God, it's amazing to try to remember all this stuff. But he held them up for millions. And it was pretty weird to watch Monday Night Raw, to watch the opening, and all of a sudden see Ric Flair gone and the Ultimate Warrior was in there. It was like, whoa, wait a minute, man. All right, fans, 888-357-986, option 2, based on his career in the business, in his matches, from open to closed, is the Ultimate Warrior a Hall of Famer, Aaron?
Well, on the Warrior nights, no. I don't think so, you know. As a kid, I remember watching Warrior on WCW and seeing the stuff take place to be what is now known as one of the worst wrestling matches of all time with him and Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing all that stuff taking place, and I think it was a War Games where they had something going on with Warrior, and I remember sitting there as a little kid just being like, wow, you know. I loved the Warrior. I remember the first time I saw the match with him and Helmsley at WrestleMania 12. You know, I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. But, you know, as I've grown up, I read Bret Hart's autobiography and saw some stories on the Warrior. I've lost all the respect that I ever had for that man. So, as a true Hall of Famer, no, I don't think he is.
No. Go out and buy it if you can still find a copy of it. Go buy the WWE's burial, literal burial. They buried him on his own Ultimate Warrior DVD.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, you've got all these, so far I believe it's Mad Dog Vachon, Antonio Inoki, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Wendy Richter, rumors of Stu Hart. They usually do a tag team, which hasn't been announced yet, and I'm not going to speculate on who the tag team could be. Oh, and there's people that can tell you from sitting there going, you know, by the time he got to the ring, he was his best. He was the original Bill Goldberg. He was built to be, he went in the ring, he did his thing, he ran, he shook the ropes, he got in. 3-4 minutes later, match was over, brother, and he was in the back, probably through the curtain, passed the hell out. And it got exposed when you put him in a ring with someone that could work, like the late Ravishing Rick Rude. Or, you know, you put him in there with certain people. Bret Hart said he hated him. Ric Flair killed him. Everyone killed him. Let's kill this segment, because I don't got any more news to talk about. You got anything you want to put over, Aaron? Anything that popped in your mind news-wise?
Well, coming up next, we got, no. Well, I've heard that Hurricane Helms got married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so let's just throw that on out there, and let's make sure our people know that coming up next, we got Lenny Leonard coming on the air. Be sure and come in with your questions and comments.
Yeah, and also, we want to thank, if we didn't thank him enough last, we want to thank Joey Machete for being on. 450 fans came out to the North Tampa Youth Baseball Complex to watch a really cool show where we froze our butts off. I know there's Canadian fans sitting there going to Northeast people going, you don't know cold. I'm a native New Yorker, okay? I know cold. It was 40 degrees outside, and we were sitting there watching wrestling. What the heck is that? Pro Wrestling Fusion did it. Get on with us. Email us. Do everything. Lenny Left, coming up next, OWW Radio.
Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Pharaoh Foul, even a e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard. So, okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Greetings one and all, this is Michael T. reminding you to check out www.gerweck.net. That's Gerweck.net, the official news source of the Monday Night Mayhem. It's also your official news source for all your pro wrestling news, notes, rosters, results, interviews, and polls. We bring it to you since 1997 free of pop-ups, free of spyware, and more importantly, we bring it to you free of charge. So, ladies and gentlemen, check it out frequently, 24-7, www.gerweck.net, Gerweck.net, the official news source of the Monday Night Mayhem.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
we wish we could get our hands on you and the four horsemen. Take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, all right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Option 2 is the number. This is OWW Radio. That's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. And if we've got things queued up right, we have got the voice of Dragon Gate USA, which will be involved in WrestleMania weekend in Phoenix, which we'll talk about this entire hour. We'll talk about Evolve. We'll talk his time in Ring of Honor, his time here in Florida. This is Lenny Leonard. Welcome to OWW Radio, sir.
How you doing, Alan? Good to talk to you again.
All righty. That's Aaron Kendrick. He may sound like he's 35 years old, but he's 15, so deal with him.
No problem. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. We're enjoying, it looks like on the Sci-Fi Channel, which we'll be turning off in a minute because who cares about this next program. Your thoughts on the Monday Night War, which one did you watch last night, or did you not watch any of it?
I actually regrettably watched the Spike TV show. And it was pretty disappointing.
I mean, for fans that aren't aware of it, Lenny's just like you, me, and everyone else. He is a diehard wrestling fan. For fans that aren't aware of it, where exactly did you grow up? Are you a New York City guy, or where exactly are you from?
Yeah, I was born in Queens. I grew up in Astoria and lived there until I was 23 and moved down to Florida after college. And I've been down in Florida ever since. But, so I grew up in the Garden watching Superstar Billy Graham and Bob Backlund and Jimmy Snuka, and I was a big WWF guy as a kid.
So are you sitting there watching like I am watching these two? They are legends. I'm never taking away from Flair and Hogan. They are legends. But are you sitting there like Aaron and I going, oh my God, these guys look worse than Terry Funk on his worst day?
It was pretty sad to watch. I mean, Hogan could barely move. You could see his hip was giving him serious trouble. He could barely walk, let alone bump. He was never a bump-taking machine, even in his prime. But now it's painful to watch him try to wrestle. It's pretty obvious he's got no business being in the ring anymore. And it was just sad to see Flair, a guy I always idolized, and had the greatest send-off in wrestling history, for him to come back and look the way he looked last night. It was a little disappointing, for sure.
888-357-9876, option 2 is the number, or if you're a part of the Skype network, you can get involved with us there too, WTR_Sunday_night. This is Lenny Leonard. You, as you mentioned, you've been in Florida wrestling for years. Were you ever involved in the, did you ever watch any of the championship wrestling from Florida stuff, or did you get involved with the NWA Florida IPW hardcore stuff as a fan?
My first indie show ever in Florida was an IPW show. But I mean, when I was younger back in New York, we used to get the old Graham's Florida Championship Wrestling back on, it was actually on a Spanish UHF station at like 11:30 on a Tuesday night. We would get the tapes.
Oh, wow.
So even as a kid, I remember 82, 83, I was maybe 11 or 12. I remember watching the Great Angles with Dusty Rhodes and Mike Graham and Scott McGee beating Ric Flair on television, and Gordon Solin and the whole Kevin Sullivan Satan angle. I got to see all that stuff up even when I was in New York. So it was, I remember that as a kid, but I really didn't see too much of the Howard Brody Florida Championship Wrestling when I had moved down here. I kind of drifted away from that sort of stuff, and but then I got back into the indie scene really with Ron Emey and IPW.
Which is actually,
right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, whenever, like, on this subject, whenever you were growing up, did you ever, like, know you were going to one day grow up to do what you've done? Or did you, like, have anything else in mind? No idea I would ever end up in wrestling at all. I mean, I always loved wrestling. I knew I would never be a wrestler. I'm older. I'm 38, so I grew up in an era where I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'7", so I grew up in an era where guys my size didn't wrestle. So that was never even a thought for me. I grew up in an era when guys were larger than life, and there were very few guys my size in wrestling back then, so I never even thought about that. But broadcasting and stuff was something I was always interested in, but I never really took it up in school. Like, I really kind of fell into it by accident.
Which he did. I can testify to it, because at the WrestlePlex, when I started going to IPW hardcore shows, I think it was late 2002, 2003, one of the first people I met was Lenny, and some kid named Eric, who's now Eric Stevens. I mean, talk about people that, you know, you don't expect people being at certain places. I could testify to it. Lenny was a fan. Lenny was one of the coolest people to meet in person. And next thing you know, tell fans the story, because like I said, I was there for it. One night, you're Lenny the wrestling fan. How did Lenny Leonard all of a sudden say, hey, guess what? You're a ring announcer, Lenny.
Well, it was more Ron Neamey saying it than Lenny saying it. Ron had gotten stuck one night where a ring announcer couldn't show up. He didn't know what else to do. He didn't have anybody in the back. He and I had become friends, and I'd done some odd jobs helping him out, selling tickets and helping with some audio and video equipment based out of my old business to kind of help the production values. But it wasn't because I wanted to get involved in wrestling or because I was trying to get my foot in the door. It was that Ron was a friend of mine, and it was something I could do to help, so I was happy to do it. Well, he was stuck again and needed a ring announcer. He said, can you do it? I was like, well, I've been watching wrestling my whole life. How hard can it be to say guys' names and how much they weigh? So I was in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts and just kind of went up there and did it for the first half of the show before the other guy showed up. 2 weeks later, same situation. Guy was running late. Ron was stuck. Asked me to fill in. Did it again. And then 2 weeks after that, the job was mine.
Well, that wasn't your only job, because IPW Hardcore did have TV for the while, which unfortunately, it's like a lot of promotions. It's not here anymore. It's like NWA Florida, which is now actually part of Pro Wrestling Fusion, which we'll talk about at another date. How did you go from ring announcing to all of a sudden you're doing play-by-play on TV and DVDs?
Well, I actually didn't do the TV. They had gotten rid of the TV. It was a money issue. They weren't making enough money to keep paying the freight for the TV show. So it was one of the things they did to cut costs and keep the promotion going. They dropped the TV, but they kept doing the DVDs. And again, it was just a case of Ron's. It was me pretty much telling Ron how bad I thought their announcing on television was, because it was mostly him, Aaron Royal, telling inside jokes for an hour every week that I personally thought were hilarious, but I didn't think anybody else who was watching the show would get. So every sick of hearing me telling him how bad the announcing was, he says, well, if you can do it, come on out. We're doing another DVD this week. Come and let's see if you can do it. So he brought me out to where they did their tapings, and he had me do an opening match with a color guy. I think it was Mikey Tenderfoot did the first match with me, and it went okay. And they said, well, we're going to skip ahead and have you do the main event. Well, the main event happened to be Rage in the Cage, which was a 20-man, bring-your-own-weapon battle royal in a cage that went about 35 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody in the promotion was in the match, including the people who usually did commentary. So that left me by myself to call the second match in my life a 35-minute battle royal in a cage with weapons by myself. And I got through that in one piece, and it came out pretty well, and I was Ron's guy after that.
That's the one that Lex Luthor and Antonio Banks ended up in, right? Was that the one that they ended?
I believe that was the one, yeah. That was the one from the Expo Center.
Yeah, that was me standing at ringside with a camera going, oh, dear God, these guys are going to fall off this frickin' cage, and I'm going to die. He's Lenny Leonard. I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. 888-357-9876, option 2. Fans are probably aware of it. They're not aware of it. For the last, except for, was it, you injured your knees in 2006, so that was when you weren't a part of it. But since 2004, you've been the voice of the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup DVDs. Is that an honor to you to be a part of that tournament, or is it just, oh yeah, another DVD, okay, let's get it going?
No, no, it's a huge honor. I was lucky enough to meet Jeff before he passed away. And the few times I was able to spend some time with him, he was just an amazing guy. And I really, really took a liking to him, and it was a big loss for everybody in Florida when he passed away. So I think everybody in the Florida scene sees it as a big honor to play any kind of a part in that weekend every year. And believe me, the years that I didn't get to do it, it was disappointing on a personal level, very much so.
Yeah, because unfortunately that DVD, we got stuck with your normal partner, who will talk about Dave Prazak, and someone else who will never put over in a billion years. We will, however, put over the last couple of years. You had former WCW, WWE, TNA commentator Scott Hudson. What's it like to work with Scott on an event that huge?
Scott was a prince. I really didn't know what to expect. I'd never met him before, and he's a guy who would... made a living in pro wrestling. He'd been on television for years. He'd called matches on pay-per-view for WCW and was part of the first WCW telecast on Raw. And I was kind of a little apprehensive, not knowing what to expect. You know, a lot of times you'd expect somebody in that position to walk in and big-time you and just kind of steamroll you and tell you how things are going to go. And I kind of prepared myself for that possibility. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Scott was a hell of a guy. He was willing to play second fiddle to me and let me just, you know, run the show, and whatever I wanted, he was willing to do, and he made it so easy, and it was really a lot of fun to work with him. He's so smooth. He's really good, and even though we'd never worked together, it felt like we'd been calling matches together forever, and what really impressed me the most was how prepared he was. He took it very, very seriously. It wasn't just, yeah, I'm coming down to do somebody a favor. It's a charity show. I'm just going to phone it in and just, you know, just show up and do as little as I can. But he had copious notes, and I know you helped him a great deal. But he really, really studied his ass off. He prepared, and he really wanted to be good. And I think it came across in the DVD.
Now, you talk chemistry with... I'm sorry.
All right. Take a semi-different route here. Scott Hudson, of course, as Alan mentioned, was WCW. Now, whenever your first few shows as a commentator, play-by-play, were there, like, were you just playing through your mind, okay, I want to be, like, I'm going to take, like, the same strategy as, say, for instance, a Gorilla Monsoon. Was there anybody in your mind that you were in particular trying to... channel or be like in your commentary?
I don't think it was a cognizant thing that I thought about trying to do. I think the last thing you want to do is come across as just a cheap imitation of somebody else.
Right.
I think there are little bits and pieces of a lot of guys in my style, so I don't think I went out of my way to try and be like someone, but I think if there's anybody that I'm probably closest to, I think it's probably a guy like Joey Styles. I'm pretty straightforward. I try to call the names of the moves, the right names of the moves. I try to let the guys in the ring tell the story and not really get myself over. And you know, just try to stay out of the way, really, as much as I can. And, you know, if somebody doesn't say anything about the commentary, then to me, I did fine. The last thing I want to do is have somebody complain about it. So I'd rather hear nothing than hear a complaint. So,
and if that's what really sets you apart from every other commentator that I hear in modern wrestling.
We can get into people that dislike you, namely everyone on the ROH message board, but we'll save that for another segment.
Well, the ROH fans are a very particular group of people. They like what they like, and they don't like something, they're not afraid to let you know that. And I've been on both sides of that argument. I think a lot of times when I was there, they kind of, you know, they took their shots at me when some of them wanted to. And and in their minds it was deserved, and that's fine. But I think since I've been gone, I've been getting a lot of feedback that maybe I was missed a little more than they expected. So, you know, I've been on both sides of it.
Yeah. Before we go to break, there's a transition. We're doing a storyline thing here. Before we get to Ring of Honor, you took a different step after NWA Florida went away. You were a voice of a lot of promotions. One of them would be the Florida-based Full Impact Pro, which at the time was beginning a working relationship with Ring of Honor. How did you and FIP come to be, and what were your initial thoughts of working with Dave Prazak as a commentator? Because he was a traditional manager. How did that come to be?
Well, I actually didn't work with Dave right away. I had actually started out with FIP. I was just the ring announcer for them. Sal had known Ron, and when NWA Florida and they went by the wayside, Sal was getting ready to relaunch FIP, and he had liked what I had done for Sal, for Ron. So he decided to give me a shot. I was just doing the ring announcing during the relaunch. That was it. Actually, the play-by-play was getting done by Prazak and Mark Nolte. And it was probably about a year before I started doing any play-by-play for FIP. I think it was around the time that ROH was looking to make a change because Nolte was doing the play-by-play for them as well. So once Mark went by the wayside with ROH and then FIP at the same time, Sal slid me into his spot first, and it wasn't for a while before I got into ROH after that.
That's Lenny Leonard. He is the voice of Evolve. He is the voice of Dragon's Gate, which we will get into in the next segment. If you want to get in on this action talking to a man like Lenny Leonard, 888-357-9876, option 2. After the break, we will discuss Ring of Honor, so get in on this. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho, Derek
Bischoff,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of Stevie Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of Stevie Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of Stevie Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of Stevie Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Option 2 is the number here on OWW Radio. Aaron Kendrick, Alan Wojcik, and the voice of Dragon's Gate and Evolve, which does have a show this weekend. we will talk about the show that does feature Chris Hero and Ikoto Higata, if I pronounced that right. I'm sorry if I didn't, for Japanese fans there. Lenny Leonard's joining us. Our producer had a little fun there because he played the music. We were talking off segment about something with he saw last night in TNA Impact that it felt like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan were doing something with the movie The Wrestler. And fans that may not be aware of it, that didn't stay through all the credits of the movie, but I did because I was working in a movie theater at the time, they'll be sitting there watching the special thanks and all that kind of stuff, and somebody's name showed up. Oh, yeah, that's yours, Lenny Leonard. How the heck did you get involved in being a part of Darren Aronofsky's The Wrestler?
Well, ROH had a big part in it, obviously. A lot of the wrestling scenes were filmed at Ring of Honor events in New Jersey back at Dover. It was called the Double Feature, 2 days of shows. And Aronofsky had enlisted a producer, Evan Ginsberg, and they wanted to do something with the opening credits, where they had play-by-play guys and color guys calling some of what were supposed to be Randy the Ram matches over the big montage of photos and everything at the beginning. So they brought myself in, Dave Prazak, Larry Sweeney, Larry Zbysko, Kevin Kelly, a whole cast of characters was in there that day. And they had me and Dave, and then me and Kevin Kelly together, and they had us calling matches off of YouTube that we had to then change the names to Randy the Ram and whoever his opponents were, and they took bits and pieces of that and sliced it up, and I'm somewhere in that montage. And then while doing that, Darren was, I guess he was pretty enamored with my voice and the way I projected things, and he asked me if I'd ever done any acting, and I hadn't. And he said, well, I want you to try and read something with me. So he handed me a script and said, basically, we're having a phone conversation. It's you and Mickey Rourke. And he basically took the part of Randy the Ram, and it was Mickey Rourke in the scene on the telephone where he was talking to a wrestling promoter right after he had the heart attack and he had to cancel his bookings. And I was the guy who was on the other end of the phone. Unfortunately, they used a lot of background noise, so I was a little bit muffled. And if you didn't know it was me, or if I wasn't with you to point out that that was me talking, you probably wouldn't have known it was me. But I had a little extra part other than the play-by-play. I had to do a little bit of acting with the director, which was kind of fun. I'd never done anything like that before.
For fans that might not have joined us in the last segment, we were talking about how you got involved with Full Impact Pro, which was the sister promotion of Ring of Honor. The obvious statement's got to be is that at the time, Gabe Sapolsky was doing bookings for both promotions. At what point did you mentioned that Mark Nolte was involved there. At what point did they say to you, you 100% are our guy, you're the ring announcer, you're the DVD guy for a DVD-based company? Were you, and also, in that second statement there, were you a fan of Ring of Honor's product, or did it take a little while to get used to calling those matches?
Well, it took a while to get used to calling the matches because they were a lot different than the stuff down here that I had been calling, but I thought the transition went pretty quickly. Because I try to play a straight play-by-play guy, so it's pretty much just call what I see and then get across whatever storyline points that the booker or the producer wants me to get across. So it wasn't too difficult. The length of some of the matches was a little difficult to get used to because a lot of the main events were a lot longer, but I wasn't the guy right away. I pretty much took over for Mark in FIP, and that was a good 6 to 9 months before I did anything with ROH. I was still just doing the play-by-play for FIP, and Gabe had taken Mark's spot and was doing the commentary with Punk and Prazak and whatever other guys they were using in there at that time. And I think just the booking of the two promotions and doing the commentary just got to be a little much for Gabe, and he kind of wanted to find a way out of the booth. But he didn't really know what to do, and Sal had kind of been pushing me on him a little bit, and finally Gabe gave in and gave me a shot to call a match or two on one DVD and just to kind of see how I did with Dave, and it went pretty well, and then he brought me back the next time he was in town, and I did a couple more matches, and then I ended up doing half of a show, and then the time after that is when he pretty much just backed away and left me and Dave to kind of do our thing. So It was like somewhere late 2004, 2005.
In case you're just joining us, we are on OWW Radio, 888-357-9876, option 2. We love asking questions of Lenny, Aaron, and I do, but we want to hear from fans, man. Call in. Ask us some stuff. Lenny's open to talking about anything wrestling-wise, so don't be afraid to chime in. I know Aaron and I were talking off air about Daniel Bryan, or whatever he's called. You called a lot of his matches over his career. We had talked when we did an interview leading into one of the Peterson Cups. You had mentioned that a favorite match of yours to call was a Danielson-Roderick Strong match that was 57 minutes long. Does that kind of match still stand up in your mind if you go back and look at the ROH library? And what are your thoughts on him transitioning to WWE right now?
No, I couldn't be happier for him. He's a really, really good guy, and he's certainly put in the time and paid his dues, and he's a tremendous performer, and I'm so happy that he's getting an opportunity to show the world just how good he really is. And I couldn't put my finger on just one match of his that stands out. The Roderick one that was 57 minutes was unbelievable just because of the precision that Bryan executes that in the course of a match that long, and the way he puts his matches together, and he utilizes things from matches that he had with Roderick in the past to really play into the history between the two of them. It was just it was an amazing match to be a part of. But I could say that about dozens of matches of his over the years in Ring of Honor that I was lucky enough to play a small part in. He's a really gifted performer, and I'm very happy he's getting the opportunity he's getting now.
Now, Lenny, whenever you were sitting there calling matches like a Danielson and Strong, on a personal note, my favorite wrestling match ever is Bryan Danielson versus Lance Storm at, I believe, Chicago Ridge, Illinois. Now, are you ever just sitting there watching a match like this, not just like this, but any match? Are you ever just sitting there and you're watching it and you just know that you're calling something special?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was a really fun match to call. Lance hadn't wrestled in a while before that match, and you could tell that it was really important to him. So I wanted to do as good a job as I could calling it because I knew he was going to be watching it. It was a big match for Bryan because Lance hadn't worked in a while, so Bryan was, I'm sure, going to put a little extra pressure on himself to make sure he gave Lance a good match. So I think everybody really kind of made sure that they were on top of their game. But yeah, it's when you're watching stuff, you can tell you're watching something pretty amazing while it's going on. And I try at least when those matches are happening to let that project in the commentary. That's kind of the whole point of it, is to if you're doing it right, you should be able to make a good match seem great and a great match seem really, really special. And that's what you try to do. And
he's Lenny Leonard. You're on OWW Radio listening to him right now. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the number. During your time in Ring of Honor, and we'll talk pay-per-views and all that kind of stuff in a minute, but were you ever sitting there thinking, okay, I'm calling the matches that they did in Japan, that they did overseas? Did you think, these guys are expanding, like, really, really fast? Or were you thinking, they're, as a fan and as a member of their company, are you sitting there going, we need to expand out to compete with these other indie promotions?
I don't think it was a need to expand to compete with other indie promotions. You get to a point, and Jim Cornette said it years ago about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the one thing you don't ever want to do is be too small to be big and too big to be small. You got to kind of find that niche, and I think that's what they were trying to do, and I think you can see now by the fact that they've really cut down the number of shows that they're running, that they got to the point where they were a little too small to be as big as they were, and they needed to cut back. And you're seeing that now. Their schedule's way reduced. They're focusing a lot more on the TV show than the DVD sales. and they're cutting out a lot of markets that they weren't making money in. And I think it did get to the point where they were trying to grow too far, too fast, and they were running a lot of shows that they weren't making money on, and that's not a good business model for anybody.
Going into that whole setup, like we mentioned, they did you were doing DVDs and everything. What was your initial thought when Gabe and Carrie and everyone was running them said, "So, yeah, pay-per-view. What do you think, man? We're going to do a pay-per-view." Was it weird for you to be told, "Okay, you're going to call a match and you're going to do it live?" I mean, what were your thoughts on pay-per-view and doing stuff live?
Well, we didn't do the pay-per-view commentary live. That was the thing. There was no change for me.
A couple of shows.
We would fly out and we would do the opens, or we would do a stand-up at some point in the show where we would be live. But the commentary schedule stayed the same. It was on tape back in Florida. So there really wasn't any change for me. And I don't think it was a bad deal for them to get on pay-per-view. It was a no-lose situation, really. You were just taking a DVD that you were going to produce anyway, and you were just putting it on the air. The only negative was you had to wait those 2 months after it aired before you could sell the DVDs for the people who didn't buy the pay-per-view, and that could prove a little bit costly in the long run. If people weren't buying the pay-per-views, then not only were you not getting the DVDs out in a fast period of time, but you weren't getting the revenue from pay-per-view either. So, but it really shouldn't have been a lose situation. And I don't think they did badly. The show started out doing pretty well, and then they kind of tapered off from there. But that's the nature of, I think, of any taped pay-per-view without any kind of television to really advertise and really push the shows. It's difficult to draw a pay-per-view audience without television, and I think everybody sees that. And then in some cases, like TNA, it's impossible to draw a pay-per-view audience even when you're getting 1.5 million people watching your show every week.
Ouch.
That's another story.
For fans that are, like Aaron had mentioned, one of his favorite matches was a Bryan Danielson match. Were there anybody in the entire time that you were working for Ring of Honor that you look forward to calling, like when Matt Hardy came in or when Lance Storm came in? Was there anyone that popped in your mind that you went, like, you marked out and said, "Whoa, I just called so-and-so's match"? Or was it just, like I said, in other aspects, just another match to you?
No, it was fun when the big-name Japanese guys would come in. I liked doing when Marufuji would come in, and I liked when Kenta came in, and I was, in fact, one of my biggest disappointments was that Dave and I didn't get to call Joe versus Kobashi. They decided to go with just the live crowd reactions and no commentary when they did the original DVD version of the show, and that was a big disappointment for me. That was a match that I was really looking forward to calling, and I didn't get that opportunity until later on when they re-released that match as part of a retail DVD they put out through Koch. I think it was something like Stars of Honor or something like that, and then they put the show, the match back on that DVD, and we added commentary to it. And I thought Dave and I did a great job, and I think if we put that DVD, that show on the DVD from the get-go, I don't think it would have hurt the match at all. In fact, I think it probably would have helped it a little bit.
What was your initial reaction when you got a phone call or an email from Carrie Silken going, "Oh, yeah, this just into the news get. Gabe's gone, and oh yeah, Larry Sweeney's following her out the door." What was your initial thoughts when Gabe left?
I never got an email. I read about it on the internet like everybody else.
Oh, God.
What
did you say? What did you say?
I didn't expect to get any notification. I'm not part of the office. I'm not privy. I wasn't privy to any of those sort of things, so I didn't really expect to be apprised of the situation. Everybody was... who was working that show in Edison when it happened was there, and word spread pretty quickly once everybody got on their phones and started texting and sending stuff out. But I think I found out the next day from Sal, because Gabe and he had talked, or I might have gotten word from Prazak. I forget exactly who told me.
Well, while we're on the subject of people telling you stuff, who told you that, "Oh yeah, we're going to do this thing on HDNet called ROH-TV, and by the way, you're being replaced by a guy who's never called wrestling named Mike Hodgewood, who does ACC basketball and TV"? What were your feelings? Were you like, "I built to get to this point, and now I'm getting shoved out of the way," or was it like, "Okay, I understand"?
Yeah, I actually got that word from the internet as well.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Right when the deal was getting ready to get announced, or just right after it got announced, ROH was running their Proving Ground shows down here in Florida. And I met with Carrie at the show. I wasn't doing anything on the show. I just stopped by to say hi since they were down here and I wanted to see the guys. So Carrie pulled me aside outside before the show started, told me that, they signed the deal, but nothing had really been finalized. HDNet had a guy that they were considering using, but they were going to try and get me and Dave in there. He thought we were going to at least, I was going to at least get some kind of a tryout or a shot. And, you know, they were really pushing for me. They were high on us, and they were doing everything they could, but they didn't know which way anything was going to go. And then 2 days later, the announcement that Hogwood and Prazak were doing the show was on the Internet, and that's how I found out.
Have you watched their product at all since you've left? What are you once on left? I have no desire to watch them.
Well, I was still there for a while after that. I was still doing the DVDs. I just wasn't doing the TV show. So, I mean, I've only been gone for less than 6 months, probably. Maybe a little more than that. It was towards the end of 2009, so maybe 8 months. So I was still doing the DVDs. It was just not, I just wasn't calling the HDNet stuff. I didn't stop doing the DVD stuff until they had made the break from the production work down here in Florida with Sal. For whatever reason, they decided they didn't want to, they wanted to do the stuff in-house up in Philly, and they were willing to, you know, pay for a plane ticket for Dave from Chicago, but they didn't want to get one from Florida for me, and they decided to go another direction, and I never really got a call about that either.
Yeah, that direction took you...
It was one day I was there, and the next day I was gone, and, you know, I talked to Adam Pearce about it after the fact, and it was just, I mean, it was pretty much time for me to go. I think once I had agreed to do the Dragon Gate show the first time, and I wasn't Gabe's first choice, he was trying to go another direction, but he wasn't happy with whoever he had been trying out for stuff, and he knew my situation with ROH was tenuous, and I wasn't under contract anymore because they had let my contract expire and never called me and talked to me about that either. And so I agreed to do it, and Adam found out because I had someone as a courtesy give word to them saying, hey, just so you know, I'm going to do the Dragon Gate shows. I hope there's no heat, no problem. I'm still, you know, an ROH guy, and I'm here 100%, and I'll do my best when I'm here. But, you know, I got passed over for the TV and never got talked to about it. My contract expired, and no one talked to me about that either, so I didn't think it would be a problem for me to do this show for Dragon Gate, since, you know, I didn't seem to be in the long-term plans, but as long as you want me, I'm still here. And I did a couple more shows, and then that was pretty much it.
888-357-9876, option 2 is the way you get on OWW Radio to talk with Lenny Leonard, who is the voice of Dragon Gate USA, who is the voice of Evolve Wrestling, which we will get into in a few minutes. You had mentioned how you got involved with Dragon Gate. Had you seen any of their product, the Japanese-based version, and teased the U.S. version? And what was it like transitioning from Ring of Honor to another totally different product?
Yeah, I had seen their stuff. We were lucky enough with Ring of Honor to do a lot of stuff with Dragon Gate. They had the big Dragon Gate six-man, that one match of the year in the Observer twice, and I was lucky enough to call those matches. So I had been familiar with a lot of their stuff, and I had watched some of it on the Internet here and there intermittently, so I was pretty familiar. And then Dave and I, for Sal, had called an English version of, like, a best-of Dragon Gate. They sent over a bunch of matches to put a compilation DVD together of stuff from, like, 2006 and 2007, and Dave and I did the voiceovers for those. So I had seen most of the guys before, so it was a pretty easy transition. The only difference is the speed of the guys is so much faster than a lot of the stuff here in the U.S., so it's tough trying to keep up with everything as they're going 100 miles an hour, but that's a good challenge.
I'm Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick and Lenny Leonard on OWW Radio. Our producers had brought up something to us in our pre-production meetings that there was some controversy. I wasn't 100% aware of it because I haven't seen a lot of the Dragon's Gate stuff except for the DVD that you were super graciously able to lend me, that there was apparently some sort of animal abuse issues with Dragon's Gate. Can you shed some light on that for us?
All I know is what I read on the Internet. They had a mascot. It was a monkey called named Cora, And there had been some talk that there had been some abuse by some of the guys in the dojo who were responsible for taking care of it. It got straightened out. Cor is in good health. She's being taken care of by a foster family, and she's in it's in good health. And the people who were responsible for harming the animal were dealt with and punished, and a couple of them are no longer with the company anymore. But that, again, all I know about that is what I read.
I got to experience at this past year's Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup an interesting match called Frey. For fans that haven't seen any of the four Dragon's Gate pay-per-views that have been in the books, try to describe this match for them. And has there been one of the four pay-per-views so far that you've said, that's my favorite match in Dragon's Gate? Or Dragon Gate, sorry, I'm mispronouncing it.
Well, the Frey is kind of like a, it's like a, well, it's kind of like a mini gauntlet match. It's usually like 6 to 8 guys. 2 guys start, another guy enters every couple of minutes. It's pinfall, submission, no countouts, no DQ. And, you know, it's last man standing wins. So they get pretty hairy. You get 4, 5, 6 guys going at it 100 miles an hour at one time, so... it's a nice little match. We usually use them on the pre-shows. We did it in the pre-show of the Jeff Peterson Cup, and it's for guys who haven't been a part of the main Dragon Gate show usually to showcase themselves and earn themselves an opportunity. And we've seen it with Johnny Gargano. He earned himself a regular spot by his participation in a couple of the Frays. But so far, like, my favorite match out of all of the matches on the four pay-per-views, God, I don't know if I could pick just one. I mean, Open the Historic Gate and Open the Untouchable Gate were both the number one and number three show of the year in the Observer balloting. The fans really loved both those shows. I thought Naruki Doi and Brian Danielson was absolutely unbelievable at Open the Untouchable Gate.
Are you going to be a part of... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
All right, now, Lenny, you've called, like Alan just brought up, you've called some pretty innovative matches. I mean, you've called, you know, Chicago street fights, ghetto street fights, Windy City death matches, steel cage warfare matches. Now, out of all these innovative matches, is there one that really sticks out in your mind that you've been able to call?
Yeah, nothing beats the Dragon Gate 6-man. And that's what really is getting me excited for Phoenix and the 2 Dragon Gate shows coming up in Phoenix. Because both of those shows are going to have the Dragon Gate 6-man. They were the headline matches on the WrestleMania weekend shows for Ring of Honor. I missed the opportunity to call it that one year when there was no relationship between Dragon Gate and ROH, and I'm super excited to have that chance again this year. And Friday night is going to be a little bit of a twist. It's going to be the Young Bucks and Jack Evans taking on Shima, Gamma, and Dragon Kid, and that's a match you're never going to ever see again anywhere. You've got Jack Evans, who works for AAA down in Mexico, the Young Bucks, who are now with TNA under Generation Me. Those guys are never going to be able to team up anytime soon, I don't think. And then Shima, Gamma, and Dragon Kid on the other side. And then Saturday night at the Mercury Rising pay-per-view taping, it's the traditional Dragon Gate 6-man tag with Shima, Gamma, and Dragon Kid taking on Naruki Doi, Masato Yoshino, and BB Hulk, the Open the Freedom Gate champ. So I'm really looking forward to having the chance to call those 2 matches again.
You're also going to get to call an interesting arrival. I think you've done it with, possibly with Evolve. What are your thoughts on Tommy Dreamer being involved in both Dragon's Gate and Evolve?
I think it's awesome. I mean, Tommy still has a lot to offer. He's great in the locker room, especially Evolve. We got a bunch of young guys, and Tommy was really accessible. He spent a lot of time with the guys in the back and offered a lot of advice, and I think he's still got a lot to give. Tommy has never been known for his technical wrestling, but he's got a great deal of heart. He's a tremendous character, and people really get into him. And I think he's a great addition to both locker rooms. I'm pretty excited to have the opportunity to call Tommy Dreamer match. I don't think I'd ever have the ability to say that.
We're talking with Lenny Leonard, who's the voice, as he mentioned, of Dragon Gate USA, and you can go to dgusa.tv for all the info on that Super WrestleMania weekend. You're also, are you going to be in Rahway this weekend? Do they fly you in for those Evolve shows?
I Yeah, I will be in Rahway for Evolve 2, Chris Hero and Akuto Hidaka. It's also Claudio Castagnoli and Bobby Fish. There's a big four-team elimination tag with the Chikara guys, Jimmy Jacobs and Johnny Gargano, TJ Perkins and Kyle O'Reilly, Ken Doan and Silas Young, and Mercedes Martinez is taking on Sumi Sakai. So it's a pretty big show. We're really excited about it. The Evolve 1 DVDs are available now, too, at EvolveWrestling.com. It's Kota Ibushi and Davey Richards, TJ Perkins and Munenari Sawa in a match that I thought personally stole the first show. What an unbelievable hard-hitting match between those two guys. I know it's got Kota Ibushi and Davey Richards' name on the DVD, but trust me, when you get to see TJ Perkins and Munenari Sawa, you will not be disappointed. But yeah, Saturday night, it's at the Rahway Rec Center. You know, it's only a half an hour from New York City. It's an hour from Philadelphia. It's really easy to get to by car, but there's actually even public transportation from New York City if you didn't want to drive. And they got big ticket deals going on right now, actually, until tomorrow. First row tickets are on sale for $40, but we're doing ticket packages on all four price points. You could get two tickets in the first row for $75, three for $99, and you'll also get the independent Tour de Force DVD, which has matches from all the major independent promotions that Evolve and Dragon Gate USA are working with. You got matches from FIP, matches from AEW in Chicago, CZW, Pro Wrestling Hybrid, WSU Women's Wrestling Superstars Uncensored. And they're all on that DVD if you get your first row tickets by tomorrow. Second row tickets, $25, two for $45, three for $60. Third row, $20, two for $35, and three for $50. In general admission, $15. There'll be 20 at the door. Or you could do two for $25 and three for $33 if you get those by tomorrow.
Wow, that was awesome. That was awesome. He did that without a breath. That tells you how good a commentator he is. As a fan of the business, what did you think of the way Gabe and Sal launched Evolve? Where it was basically like a pretty well done viral campaign online, where you just like David Richards at the end of the Peterson Cup said, you know, we're getting ready to evolve, and I'm sure 3/4 of the fans, or maybe more than that, were sitting there going, yeah, what's that about? What were your thoughts on the way they launched Evolve?
You know, I thought it was good. It got people talking. I think in some cases people expected a little more than there was. We weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. When they say evolve, we're not trying to change the sport, but just maybe the presentation of a little bit. If you see the first DVD, and I got my copy of it today, is absolutely unbelievable. It's got great collector's packaging. It doesn't look like any other wrestling DVD out on the market today. And then the way it's shot, it's different. There's a lot more in-depth profiles of the guys on the roster. It's a really, really cool idea. But at the end of the day, it's still pro wrestling, and then we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. I think some people took the whole Evolve thing a little too literally. But if you get the DVD, you're not going to be disappointed, and if you come out Saturday night, you won't be disappointed either. It's going to be a really good show.
Yeah. Being that the first two shows were in Rahway, New Jersey, in the back, basically the backyard of Ring of Honor, do you think that Gabe and Sal did this as an FU to carry, or was it just, well, we're just going to pick Rahway?
No, I don't think that it was an FU by any means. I think it just happened to be. Rahway is a great building to run. If you see the first DVD, it looks really good on film. Jersey All Pro runs there too. I don't think it was an FU to them either. It just happened to be a good building at a good price in an area where we could draw fans from not just Jersey, but New York, Philadelphia, Connecticut. And it was just something that seemed like a good fit. And all the shows aren't going to be there. I'm sure they're going to be going elsewhere other than Rahway. That's not going to be the only place we run Evolve. We're looking to increase where and how often Evolve runs. I wouldn't be surprised to see it become a monthly thing soon. But, you know, they're going to take it slow, make sure they get the right buildings and the right markets. And wherever there's a market for Evolve, then I'm sure they're going to look into bringing it there, just like they're doing with Dragon Gate. It's not just going to be Philadelphia and Chicago. We're going out to Phoenix for WrestleMania weekend. We just announced two shows in Canada, May 7th and May 8th. The 7th in Windsor and the 8th just outside Toronto in Mississauga. They're teaming up with Scott D'Amore and his Maximum Pro Wrestling promotion. And we're back in Philadelphia for our first anniversary in July on the 24th, and then back to Chicago again in September. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot more announced before then. There's big plans for Dragon Gate USA, and I'm pretty excited to be part of it.
as someone as a fan of the business, and you said you found out a lot of personal stuff about yourself on the internet, you probably were sitting there like a lot of us, or maybe you were privy to some info. What were your thoughts on everything that went on with Davey Richards and his issue where he was, I guess originally Brian Danielson was supposed to be the face of Evolve, and then he signed, and then they put it with Davey, and the next thing you know, and it's been talked about on this show by Aaron and Nick Anthony. What are your thoughts on this whole ROH, Evolve, Dragon Gate, I'm signed with these guys, but I'm not, but I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing? Do you think he was, like, really undercutting the business? And it obviously shows the way that, you know, when we grew up watching wrestling, none of this would have ever hit the mainstream media. But, I mean, take it from there. What are your thoughts on everything that went on with Davey? And talk about that for us.
Well, from a personal standpoint, first and foremost, I'm disappointed because I loved calling his matches. And now I'm not going to have the opportunity to do that. So professionally, I'm disappointed. I don't know the ins and outs of what Davey told Sal and Gabe and what he didn't, but knowing Sal and Gabe the way I do, if they didn't think they had the ability to promote him as the face of not just one promotion, but to give him a big spot in Dragon Gate USA, if they weren't absolutely sure that they were okay to do that, I don't think they would have done it. You can pretty much draw whatever conclusion you want from that statement. But like I said, I'm not privy to what Davey did and didn't tell anybody. All I know is Sal and Gabe are good businessmen, and they're not going to put a promotion on somebody's back if they didn't think they had the guy locked up. And you can, like I said, draw your own conclusions from that.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of things we can draw, and I'm sure there's people on message boards going, yeah, but Lenny's saying that. What are your thoughts on the internet as a part of the business? I mean, as I said, we grew up in an era where there was no internet. There was 3-4 pay-per-views maybe a year. Now, you know, like somebody videotaped Rob Van Dam at the Orlando Ale House, the next thing you know, it's online this morning. What are your thoughts on the internet as a whole in the business? Do you think it actually affects the way that Vince writes WWE or Adam Pearce writes Ring of Honor or Russo and whoever's doing TNA, or do you think now they don't give a crap?
I think the only one it affects is Vince Russo because he's the only one that wants to go swerve the marks. I don't think Vince McMahon and Pat Patterson and those guys pay one iota of attention to what the internet thinks. I think they're going to do what they want to do because they're trying to make money and they're trying to do what's right for business. I think TNA pays too much attention to the internet. I think they, you know, well, TNA is, you know, that's a much longer story than we have in the next 4 minutes to talk about, so I probably better not even get into it. I know I'm never going to work there, so I don't have to worry about it. biting my tongue, but, you know, I think last night's rating tells the story, that there are people making decisions in that company that that should not be making the decisions to run that company, you know. What's the old saying? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result every time.
Pretty much.
I think that's TNA in a nutshell right there. They've got Vince Russo doing the same thing every single week. And every single week they're expecting a different result. And guess what? They get the same result every single week. So you reap what you sow. And I don't think there's any accident that they drew a .098 yesterday on what was supposed to be the biggest show in their history. And basically the moral of the story is Florida Championship Wrestling plus Brian Danielson, which is basically what NXT is going to outdraw a show on Monday night with Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Sting, Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, Taz, and a whole host of other people making an awful lot of money. And they're going to do a rating significantly less than seven guys from Florida Championship Wrestling and Brian Danielson. And that's all you need to know.
Before we wrap it up, the website's what, evolvewrestling.com? Is that Evolve's site?
Yeah. Evolvewrestling.com.
Yeah. Aaron, you got anything else you want to talk with Lenny about, man? Because I hate that you're silent.
Well, I'm just sitting back here listening to one of the great minds in the business. You know, Lenny, the past few years that I've been getting into Ring of Honor, I've really been sitting back and studying everything about it, including your commentary, because, you know, I've had my mind made up that I want something to do with the wrestling business, and I've considered getting into broadcasting, play-by-play, and you are...
Don't do it, run. go the other direction. Stay away. You don't want anything to do with it. Trust me. I'm just
wow. That's a great piece of advice. But I mean, you stand out above all the other commentators in wrestling today. I'm going to say that. You know, you rank right up there with a Joey Styles, like you said, and a Gorilla Monsoon. I think you are a great, great voice in wrestling. And I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. If I'm half the guy that a guy like Joey Styles and a guy like Jim Ross and Bob Caudle and the real guys that I looked up to, and Gordon Solie and Lance Russell and guys like that, then if I was one tenth of the announcer that those guys are, then I'm pretty happy. So I appreciate the kind words.
All right. If you don't mind, Lenny, we're going to keep you on after we go to break, after we go off the air, so just stay on the line with us. I'm Alan Wojcik. Aaron Kendrick's going to take us home. Thank you very much on my end for listening to OWW Radio with us. We are so honored to have had Lenny for this entire hour. And anything you want to say, Aaron?
Well, I mean, OWW brought to you by Wild Talk Radio Networks. Our producers, Shot, Corey, Scott, Daniel, The Truth, Nick Anthony, who is MIA with his baseball team, Alan Wojcik, that's your host, and I am Aaron Kendrick, Match of the Week. OWW is on iTunes, where we have all of our shows, as well as over at clickwrestle.com. We are on Twitter, we have a Facebook page, as well as a YouTube channel. Also, Wrestle-Radio and WTR are where you may find us, so there's no reason why you shouldn't listen to us every single week, man. OWW is the gold standard, as well as the most reliable wrestling source in the world. Our email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. That is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. And our toll-free telephone number, while we're not on the air, is 1-866-543-OWW0. And if you don't know your ABCs, that is 1-866-543-6990.
I want to thank Tim Stein for helping us out tonight, as always, and we don't have a guest yet for next week, but I'm sure somebody will get released between now and our next show. We need to have, like, a little running tally somewhere. I think it's on the OWW Genesis board somewhere about, like, a little graveyard of people that are going away. Hopefully neither one of us get released, because we're having a blast doing this show. OWW Radio, brought to you by Wild Talk. It's awesome. Hang on, Lenny. We'll talk to you after we go cold. I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. And this was OWW Radio.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.